But I appreciate him and Zuma. They always have a great part to take on that part of hospitality and show people are welcome in. So looking forward to having that couple here. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to meet their daughter because their daughter is a little teenager. They're kind of older.
I don't know.
Do they speak English?
If they don't, you would be out. Thank you for volunteering, brother. I appreciate it. But anyway, guys, definitely, and I appreciate them also sharing about, you know, this is said by country. They need more of us disciples.
Yes.
Yeah. More of us will just focus on making disciples. We can afford a lot of this. Just helping people that don't say just to love one another. But it's hard to love each other if you don't know what love is.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they think they know what love is, but they don't know. Mm-hmm. So just so, you know, it's a great way for me to share about that. So continue to pray for our country. Pray for all of us and pray that for us that we have God's heart to go after the lost. Go after the lost and they need us so bad. In the book of Romans is where we're going to be at. And Scott done a great job and is kind of going through it. And this particular part of Romans, if you really look at the whole book, I want to make this clear. This is talking to believers.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to think, well, it's talking to everybody. No, he's addressing those who believe. Mm-hmm. And he wants to give clarity on your position about, hey, if you're in the Lord, these are the benefits. If you're not in the Lord, you're in trouble. And so this is the thing. But I want to just open up here with a couple of questions. Do you appreciate the great effort that was put in on your behalf so that you would be free from sin? You know, what does that appreciation look like in you? How do you show your appreciation in your daily living? You know, do the world around you see your appreciation for God's work in your life? You know, this week it started off well. That's why we get prayer. So, we just appreciated a lot of things. Particularly my wife, who's got out of the house 2 days back. That's a lot for her. It's a lot. It takes a toll on her legs and her body, and she'll tell me, man, done. Well, yeah. I thought it was great. I appreciated the second hour with the Kovacs on Friday night. The weather to me was very nice and cool. I really enjoyed it. I'm ashamed to be on my church knowing that I go sit on my front porch and kind of take a bath. The weather just feels so good. Mm-hmm. My wife, the house is like free. I can't get better. But I appreciate the new relationships I met with their new friend, Tyler and Mary Jane. And just really good hanging with those guys and hung out with them more than just today. And so I took stock and noted that, like, wow, that's a great family. You know, that's a lot of people. It's really great. Just you know, like the things you appreciate. So I think about all that God has done to provide for us, to make sure that we're able to connect and no longer give up that weight of the law and sin. Do I appreciate that? Do I really appreciate that? You know, over Romans 8:1-2, it starts out by saying, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. You know, in Romans 8 here, Paul starts off by speaking about life through the Spirit. You and I have to understand that without the Spirit of God, there is truly no life. Romans 8:1 says that those who are in Christ Jesus are not condemned.
Right.
So what are you saying here? Where are you on any given day in your relationship with Jesus? That's the question. Because if you're right with Jesus, you're not condemned. Think about it.
Amen.
You have to be in that position of, hey, I'm connected. Do you fight to remain in character? You know, being a Christian at all times. Do you keep your Jesus clothes on at all times? Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend, well, he's still a friend, but he's a brother by another church, but he's a struggle. He used to always say the saying, when people be a man, you know what? Hey, you better deal with Jesus. Right now you're dealing with so-and-so. He would take his Jesus clothes off, and he says, I have to work at that city. He said, me so bad. I just like, Jesus, just hold on, we'll be right back. You can't do that, brother. But you have to keep your Jesus clothes on at all times to remain in Jesus, so that you're not in him. Do you want to clothe yourself with Jesus? That's the question.
Yeah.
For people seeking to be a disciple, the question then is, do you want to put on the right clothes? Mm-hmm. Matthew talks about it, where they have on the right clothes. You know, God has given us everything, Jesus, that we need to have a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Will you take advantage of that and go after those relationships? Let us speak about the relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul continues with his inspiring message and amplifies the importance of that relationship that comes with freedom from the flesh and the law, that comes with being in Christ and living in the Spirit. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5 through 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verses 12 and 13 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Those saying in the scripture says the flesh counts for nothing. So why would you? Why would you put your hope in? God has given us everything that we need to have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Will you take advantage of that and go after those relationships? You know, Paul advances down the hill of suffering. We're going to talk about that as we understand these three groans we call it. The first groan is the groans of the creation. In verse 18 to 22, it says, I consider that your present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who is subjected to it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought to the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pain of childbirth, right up to the present time. But I know that in Genesis 1:31, when God finished his creation, he said, what? It is good. So creation has not always been what? Groaning. It just has not. But today it is a groaning creation. There is suffering and death. There is pain, all because of sin. It is not the fault. So I want you to listen. Note the words that Paul said in these verses I read to describe the plight or the decline of creation. Suffering, Romans 8:18. Frustration, Romans 8:20. Bondage, Romans 8:21. Decay, Romans 8:21 also. And pain, Romans 8:22. A lot of times you miss it. Christian was happy, it was good. We had to be great again. It was good last year, you know, Christian, it was great. But now it's grown. It grown yesterday.
Yeah.
It grown a lot yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that, the only reason we know that's more publicized. But think of all the things that are not publicized. You know, having this woman is not a useless thing. Paul compares it to a woman having childbirth. There is pain, but the pain will end when the child is delivered. One day creation will be delivered, and the groaning creation will become a glorious creation. The believers does not focus on today's suffering. No, we look forward to tomorrow's glory. Today's groaning bondage will be exchanged for tomorrow's glorious liberty. That's one of the first groanings that Paul gives. Let's talk about number two, the believer's groan. Verse 23, 25 says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it. You know, the reason we groan is because we have experienced the first fruits of the Spirit. Kind of a foretaste of the glory to come. Just as the nations of Israel tasted the first fruit of Canaan when the spies returned, so we, as disciples, have tasted the blessings of the heavens through the ministry of the Spirit. This makes us want to see the Lord receive a new body and live with Him and serve in a prayer. We are waiting for the adoption, which is the redemption of the body when Christ returns. We don't get frustrated as we see and experience suffering and pain in the world. We know that the temporary suffering will one day give away to eternal glory. This is why we wait patiently. This is why we wait so patiently. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit says such a thing. In verse 26 and 30 it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. You know, I hear a lot about the word predestined. Everybody's predestined to hear the gospel. So people go, well, not many of you predestined, and He already knows what's going to make it. Everybody's predestined to hear the gospel.
Right.
Some of you, that's predestined to go to school. Some of you may get that out for the night. That's just it. You can't have that. But we all were predestined what? To learn what? Math. That's it. You like to think, well, if you're predestined, hey, I'm at a disadvantage. But no. We are all predestined to hear the gospel. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to choose to receive it or what?
Yep.
Refuse. That's the key. You know, God is concerned about the trials that you and I face. When He was ministering on earth, Jesus groaned when He saw what sin was doing to mankind. Today, the Holy Spirit groans with us and feels the burden of our weakness and suffering. But the Spirit does more than groan. He prays for us in His groaning so that we might be led into the will of God.
Amen.
We do not always know God's will. We do not always know how to pray. But the Spirit intercedes so that we might live in the will of God despite our suffering. The Spirit shares our burden. You know, Dr. Sherb, I've been hurting today. It hurt me too. I heard to see what's happening to God's creation.
Yeah.
Human being. You know, man. God is creating no image. No image. How you listen to
himself.
I just heard that they hurt me bad. Now look up 6 and 7 minutes. 20. I'm blessing you and I for the past 20.
Right.
I'm blessing you and I for the past 20. Even if it's a day past 20.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard that.
Right.
But the enemy, he loves it.
Yeah.
He loves
it. Yes.
And he'll catch us when we're young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He'll influence us when we're young. And he hopes that we don't break out of that ball.
Right.
Turn to Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit shares it out. So I'm encouraged. Sometimes you're hurt so bad you don't know how to pray without how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit said, I know
what
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that God gave us something that says, don't worry about it. I carry this burden. I think he don't know what to say. So glad. So glad. You know, therefore, you and I should never grow faint. No time to suffer. Because we do feel pain. God can't go alone. I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. We just feel that way. Yeah. But we should never go faint in time to suffer the trial. Because we know that God is at work in this world. And that he has a perfect plan. God has two purposes in that perfect plan. Our good and his glory. Ultimately, the goal is to become like Christ Jesus. Best of all, God's plan is going to succeed.
Amen.
And as we go down here, guys, I'm going to talk about how God's great plan, Jesus' great sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit all work together so that we can live a life of freedom of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're not separate.
Mm-hmm.
We're not separate. You know, verse 31 says, I'll say verse 31 to verse 34. Says, what then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Spirit that sees on our behalf through prayer, and Jesus who's at the right hand is comforting and deceiving for us.
Amen.
You know, for the person who responds to God's calling, there is no condemnation because we share in the righteousness of God, and the law cannot condemn us. We have the Spirit of God who enables us to overcome the flesh and live for God. There is no frustration because we share the glory of God. The blessed hope of Christ's return. There is no separation because we experience the love of God. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Therefore, we should not fear the past, the present, or future because we are secure in the love of Christ. So, let's be clear. I love to break down for us the key words of Scripture. We're ready to love. 31:35. The Spirit is with us. Acts 1:26. God is making all things work for us. 8:28. The Father is for us. 8:31. He proved it by giving his Son. 8:32. And the Son is for us. 8:34. Truly amazing. Sometimes I have to say, but sometimes like Jacob, we all know Jacob, don't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes like Jacob, we lament all these things on his. We do. We have moments of where we lament. we cry. We cry foul, Lord. Not something we do. When actually everything is working for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to enter into each new day realizing that God is for me.
Yes.
And you need to wake up every day. God is for me. There's no need to fear, for my beloved Father desires only the best for me. Even if I must go through trials to receive his best, for I know the plans that I have to do, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity can give you a future and a hope. And that's how you get it. I was sharing with the brothers back there, and I was just thinking, you know, a lot of times I don't know if you guys do what I do, but sometimes I take that for granted. Not sometimes, all the time. I was looking at my family situation, and I was talking about, you know, maybe God would not let that happen. I said, oh, God would do that. But even in church scripture, God said, I didn't spare my son, and my great with Jesus. But there's a purpose. I mean, they say there's a purpose for God. Whether he orchestrates something happening in life or he allows it.
Right.
He gave us Jesus so that we not be lost. So we not have to live the law and all that stuff on. I mean, free things, guys. Get it. But maybe something I need to learn about life, about loving, about being content, about really taking care of you. You never know. Trials that we go through sometimes, God's good. You need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you can learn. It's something you can give that person.
Sure.
Not only in this life, but in the next one, I have a plan for it. So there, this evening, God's way. In closing the scripture here, Romans 8, 37, 39 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights or depths, nor anything else in creation would be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Closing, when we look back on this wonderful chapter, I think any chapter in the Bible is wonderful to take time with God and add to it. But when we look back at this wonderful chapter, it shows that the disciple is completely victorious. That's why the disciple is you're completely victorious. Because Christ died for us, and we have his righteousness. We are free from defeat because Christ lives in us by his Spirit. And we share his life. We are free from discouragement because Christ is coming for us and we should share his glory. We are free from fear because Christ intercedes for us. And we cannot be separated from his love. So I leave with this. There's no condemnation because of the law. There's no obligation because of the law. No obligation to the law. There's no frustration from the law. There is no separation because of the law. For the disciple of Christ, you are signed, sealed,